As we stand together, we're going to do our reading together, and I'd like us all to join in with 1 Chronicles 29. And this is a great prayer of praise, so let's read together. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." Thank you. Please be seated.
So good morning, everybody. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Ian. I'm one of the pastors here at Fullwood. And yes, I am tall. But I want to start off this morning by talking about something that is actually bigger than me. I want to talk about an ostrich. And the reason is this. Obviously, as you can see, an ostrich is a really, really big bird. They grow between 7 feet and 9 feet. I stand at 6'9". So you're looking at something up there, okay? And they are the biggest bird on the planet. And there's some, I just want to share some interesting facts about an ostrich. It has the largest egg of any bird. But interestingly enough, and I found this out this week, compared to the size of the bird, it is actually the smallest egg in comparison to the size of the bird, which I thought was actually quite interesting. So your homework today would be to find out which bird has the biggest egg in comparison to the actual size of the bird. Let me know. There we go. But the other amazing thing is it's one of the fastest birds out there. It can't fly, but it can run really fast. And also, as you can see from that picture of the ostrich head, it actually has the largest eye of any land animal. Its eye measures something like 55 centimeters in diameter. That is a big eye. And the reason it has a big eye is so that it can see far and wide, and so it can protect its nest. And apparently what happens is this: if the ostrich sees a predator coming towards its nest, it will then lure the predator away and it will run. And I'm not going to try and run like an ostrich this morning, but it will run away. But what it will always maintain is it will keep one eye always on its nest. Now, an ostrich can run, apparently, miles and miles and miles away, all over the place, luring the predator away. And as long as it keeps one eye on its nest and where the egg is, it can return back and still look after its egg. Now, the problem for the ostrich is it has such a small brain that the moment it takes its eyes off the nest, it forgets where its egg is. And all is lost. Feel I can relate to that, because the moment I lose sight of my car keys in the morning, that's it. I forget where I've put them and I'm lost. And Joanna goes mad at me. So what has that actually got to do with anything with harvest and being thankful today? We see, I think harvest is the time of year when we give thanks for all the food that we have. We've already done that with Sue this morning, and we've tied you all up in knots with string. I apologize for that. But it goes right back to the days of the Old Testament, where we see that Jewish people said thank you to God for all the crops that they had been able to grow during the year. But the attitude of being thankful didn't just stop there, as we've seen in the passage we've all just read out this morning. There's this man, David, who's saying a prayer out in front of all the people. And who was David? He was the king of the nation. And he's giving thanks to God for all that God had provided them so that they could build the temple. And he was just overwhelmed at how freely and wholeheartedly people had responded to this need and given what they could. They gave gold, silver, bronze. Sounds just a little bit like the Olympics, doesn't it? But also they gave iron and wood, as well as precious gems, turquoise, stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stone and marble. All of them in huge quantities. But I think the danger for David and for any one of us is that we can get so excited about what has been given and what we've actually been provided with, that actually, like an ostrich, we can actually lose sight of what is actually really important. That the moment we take our focus off what is we should be looking out for, we lose what is really important. And so often we can focus on what's in front of us, what we've got at our table and everything else. But thankfully, David doesn't, and goes on to say in the following verses, who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have only given you what comes from your hand. And then he goes on to say, Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building at you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you. There's another story in the New Testament where Jesus heals 10 people who are suffering from a disease called leprosy, a horrible skin disease that can literally make your skin peel off. And all of them are so delighted and excited. They rush off to show everybody else that they've been healed. Only one of them remembers to come back and say thank you to Jesus for what he's done. Only one out of 10 remembers. The other 9 didn't remember to say thank you. And I wonder this morning, what sort of person would you want to be? Would you want to be the one who turns back and says thank you? Or would you want to be the 9 who just rush off and tell everybody how amazing they now look? Saying thank you for everything is, I believe, so important because it helps others to know that we actually value them. And I believe that God is also very pleased when we say thank you to him. Because if we are going to be thankful people, then we are going to be grateful for whatever we have. But as we've seen this morning, we're going to be generous with what we've been given because we know it's ultimately from God. And we are going to remember and always keep in our eye the gracious hand of God over everything that we have. The Apostle Paul wrote some words, firstly in 1 Timothy chapter 6. He says, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. We live in a world that always tells us to have more and more. And Paul's saying, if you've got food and you've got clothing, be content with that. And he also writes to the Philippians and says in chapter 4, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Even if we're sitting here this morning and thinking, well, I don't really have a lot, God has given us the greatest gift of all and all of his riches in his Son, Jesus Christ. Recognizing that everything we have ultimately comes from God, so that like King David before the people, we can say for ourselves, yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. There's a saying in Hebrew called Teshuvah. And teshuvah is an expression for returning things to God's original intention. And it's often used to see that people will come back to be the people that God wants them to be, or for all that they have to be back in line with God's plan for them. So for each of us, maybe this harvest time is a time where we are truly thankful for what God has entrusted to each of us. To look at what we've got in our hands, in our homes, and say, what is your original intention for me and my household, God? What is it you want us to be? And how can it bless others? How can we bless our community? And how can we bless others around the world with what you have given me? But even if it's a time when harvest and abundance might be for us in short supply, let us not lose focus of the one who gives us all by looking at the things that cause us worry. Help, by God's help, we can keep our eyes focused on him. Jesus said in Matthew 6, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body. Don't even worry about what you're going to wear. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothes? So don't worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. My prayer for us today is that as a people, as a church here in Fulwood, we will be a people where God's grace and his amazing provision are most evident. That when people look at us, they see God's hand upon us. That it's not just about us looking good, but we are helping others come to that place of knowing God's provision for themselves. Whether it's through the food banks that we do, whether it's through the CAP work that we do, or whether it's through us just getting alongside people and listening to what they have to say and finding out where they are at. That this harvest time, we will remember that he can do more than we could ever ask or imagine, and ask him to reveal his teshuvah, his original intention for our lives, that we would live out our lives according to his plan and purpose for us and all that he has blessed us with. And if necessary, let us be people that return back to him through accepting all that he's given us in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, to live out our lives as he's intended us to be, in relationship with him and offering our thanks and worship to him. I don't know if you've actually noticed the display over there this morning. I just think it's brilliant, and I just want to say thank you to the team that the team that put that together. But as we're sat at our table today, will we remember to be thankful and to say thanks to God for what we have? The one that challenges me is, as we're pushing the supermarket trolley around, will we be thankful? I hate shopping with a passion. But to actually be able to go somewhere and see that the shelves are full, and to actually be able to fill them with the stuff that we like, we can be thankful for that. But also to remember the people that have put those things on the shelves as well, and work so hard to do that, and all the process that goes in, and the farmers too. But ultimately, we don't lose sight in all that, that it's God who is ultimately the one that we can give praise and thanks to. So let us be people who today and every day celebrate thankfulness for all that God provides. What will you be thankful for today? Let's pray. Lord, we've been singing today about you being our creator, God. And Lord, we praise you for all that we have and all who work to bring your harvest home. we bring our thanks to you today. Lord God, forgive us for those times of not being thankful, for maybe those times where we've actually complained, when we live in a country that does actually have so much and yet sometimes waste what you have given to us. Forgive us, Lord. And Lord, by your Holy Spirit, help us to focus our eyes on you. Place in each of our hearts a generosity by your Holy Spirit, that all might share from your provision and that all might be able to sing your praise. Lord God, provider of all that we have and all that we are, we bring you our thanks today in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.